repeated it. Hello, lovely Lisa. We have two children, Nathan, he's 3 years old, and Samantha is 11 months old. Well, my son Nathan, he has a little tendency to like to explore. He loves to venture off and do things. And sometimes at church, I might be a bad parent, I don't know, but I'm setting up kids' land and the door might get open or the barrier is a bit loose and poof, he's gone. And when I notice he is gone, I drop everything and I'm running around the building searching top level, bottom level, middle level, outside, and I'm just running and looking. Have you seen Nathan? Have you seen Nathan? I'm looking everywhere, behind curtains, behind closed doors, behind the back of stage, under the sound desk. I'm looking everywhere till I find my son Nathan. When I read about a passage that says God looked, that's the kind of image that I get. I get an image of a God who's just searching violently, saying, where can I find? Where can I find someone? Looking to see, I want to find someone who I can help or someone who will stand up for me, someone who will make a difference. Where can I find someone? Can I find someone? Can I find a way to help people? That's the kind of God I think about when I hear about God who search. Not only is he looking for righteous people, which we read about in this passage, yes, he's looking for righteous people who will make a stand, but I know the Bible tells me God's just not looking for righteous people, he's looking for lost people. He's looking for those that are hurting, for those that need help. God is looking for people. And we see this in the story of Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep and the lost coin. Jesus tells a story. A shepherd has 100 sheep. One goes astray. Won't the shepherd leave the 99 and go searching for the one? A woman loses a coin. She's got lots of coins. Well, just one. She'll turn the house upside down, and when she finds it, rejoices with the neighbor. God isn't just looking for the righteous. He's looking for the lost. And maybe you're here tonight, and you don't know Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight that he's been looking for you. He's been looking for you, and I hope tonight he finds you. He's passionately wanting to find people. I remember a story of a man who was in the middle of a flood. And the flood warning went out. And they said, please evacuate. The floods, we expected this town to be flooded and everything will be wiped out. And so the warning went out and he's going, nah, listen, everyone will be okay. I'm trusting in my God. So after the couple of hours, he moved everything upstairs to the second story. And there he is. He's just getting himself ready and a rescue boat comes by. And says, hey, listen, come on. It's going to flood here. Jump on board. We'll save you. We'll take you to a safe place, higher ground. He says, nah, listen, it's going to be all right. My God will save me. And then the waters rise up, so he climbs up on the roof, and he's sitting on the roof, and he's there just relaxing or just hanging out. Helicopter comes along. They put down the rope, and they go, hey, grab on. Get on. We're going to take you to higher ground. We're going to save you. He goes, nah, it's all right. My God will save me. The waters raise up, and he didn't get rescued. He ends up in heaven, and he comes before God. He says, God, why didn't you save me? And he goes, what more do you want? I sent you a warning, a boat, and a helicopter. You know, sometimes when we're looking for help, we might be looking for a big miracle sign. When the help we need is our friend, neighbor, or this church. It's not the big miracle. It could be just our friend next door to us, person sitting beside us. That's where our help could be found. Because the God I know is the one who's looking and he wants to help. He wants to do something. He doesn't want to destroy this land. He's looking for a way not to. He's looking for someone in this passage, but he couldn't find. But he was looking. God is a God who looks. He's looking for the righteous and the unrighteous. I look for someone among them who would build up the wall. First thing is, my God is a God who looked. Second is someone to build up the wall. Someone to build up the wall. We just spent a great Christmas up the Queensland. I'm a Queenslander. Which is great. I live in New South Wales, so I tell everyone I'm in New South Wales. I'm a missionary from Queensland and New South Wales. And so that's my calling. So it was great to go home to Queensland and hang out there. And what I love about Queensland are the beaches. I love getting to the beach, although this year was a little bit disappointing. I was venturing on our way up and stopped into the in-laws, and we had a water ski. And my first water ski happened, and I fell off and hit my head and had to go to hospital. Two stitches later, I was told not to enter the water for 10 days. So I'm camping at the beach, stitches in my head, watching everyone enjoy the surf. So anyway, we're there at the beach, and I love the fact my kid's actually starting to enjoy the beach as well. My little boy runs in, he gets dumped, then he runs back out again. But Samantha, what we did, we come and sit her down in the sand. I want her to enjoy it as well, so I bring her up, I sit her down, and I want her to experience the water. So, okay, let's move a little bit closer where the waves just come up. So I try and dig a little hole so the water, you know, so the water can stay there. And then what I do, because the waves are still coming in, just gently though, but sometimes there's freak waves, I build up this wall in front. So I'm building up this sand wall all in front of her. And then I build it up and just protect her. And, you know, I get a good momentum going, getting this wall going. Then all of a sudden a wave comes. And then takes some sand away. So I'm back in building the wall up. Wave comes in. Then a freak wave comes in, wipes the whole thing out. So I'm back to scratch, building the wall up again. Then her brother comes along. Sees a sandcastle, woohoo! Jumps on down and holes in the wall. I'm building it up. I had to keep building the wall. For me to make a safe little spot for her, I had to keep building the wall. Keep building the wall. I wanted to make sure she had a safe, secure place. God is looking for someone to build the wall. You know, we live in a society where walls are broken. And in this passage, there was broken walls. These walls represented many types of things. Could have been security. When you had a strong wall around you, you were secure. You had a sense of well-being. I feel safe. I know I'm safe here. Civilization. We're a civilized people now. We're not like the barbarians who don't have walls and live chaotically. Settledness. A wall represented a visible sign of God's blessing. Wow, God is blessing these people. They've got the resources to build a city. To build a wall to protect them. A wall represented a separation from what was unclean and what was clean, from what was wrong, what was right. A wall could represent salvation, for it's in this wall, within this city, was where you find salvation, safety, and salvation from the enemies. A wall could also be an individual, someone who will provide security, protection. A wall could mean all kinds of things like this. But what's happened here in this passage, we find that the wall must have been broken because God's looking for someone to build it up. Broken walls represented insecurity. If you had a broken wall, that means an enemy or a wild animal could come in. Broken walls represented God's judgment and defeat outside of God's blessing. Broken walls represented that the separation between clean and unclean had been broken. And now there was a mix going on. And we see that. We see that in verse 26. The priests are saying here, the priests do violence against my law and profane my holy name. They do not distinguish between holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between unclean and clean. The wall of holiness had broken down. And God is saying, I'm looking for someone who will build it up. I'm looking for someone who will build this. The wall was broken and God was looking. He was looking for anyone, all types of people. We read in verse 25, he was looking for the princes. In verse 26, he was looking for the priests. In verse 27, he was looking for the officials. In verse 28, the prophets. Then after he's gone through the leadership, the political and religious leaders, in verse 29, he's going, and the people of the land practice exhortation. He's listed all the different people of this community. Who is God looking for? Who can build up a wall? Anyone can build up a wall. Anyone can be a wall builder. You could be a leader, political leader. You could be a spiritual leader. You could be the littlest of nobody, and you can build up a wall. I love the story of Horton Hears a Who. Horton Hears a Who. Who's seen the movie? Who's read the book? You haven't read the book? I've read the book. I've seen the movie. Seen the two movies. There's a short one and a long one. I love it because basically the story is about Horton, who finds a village of who's, who are actually very tiny, little, small people. And no one else can hear them or see them except for Horton. And so he's protecting them against the rest of the jungle of Nool. But what happens at the end is that the person who actually breaks through so that everyone else can hear is the smallest of the small. The smallest of the small within this community was the one who, when they joined together to sing, to shout, to make a noise so that everyone else could hear, it was the smallest of the smallest who made the difference. So I don't care how young you are, I don't care how old you are, you can be involved in helping building up walls within your society. You know, what are some of our walls today? Some of our walls are family. When we have a strong, healthy, secure family, we feel secure. We know who we are. We have a sense of belonging, provision. But things that can happen that can break down the walls, abuse can come in. Family breakdown can happen. Homelessness are all parts of our wall of family that can be broken down. Another wall in society is sexuality. People wondering, well, which way do I go? How about you try before you buy? But we need to make sure we make a stand and rebuild that wall. You know, one thing as a children's pastor, I'm quite passionate about protecting our kids from child porn. That's one thing I want to make sure that we can protect our kids against. And I've been down to the conference, Australian Christian Lobby, and I get their emails and try and get involved with things like that to say, hey, I want to help rebuild this wall. I want to protect our kids from this mess. There's no need for that stuff. And I was astonished at this. My mind was often blind to this. But you walk into news agency, and here on the shelf you'll find, you know, Dora the Explorer, and then right next to it, the same eye level, your Playboy magazines. And just going, we've got to protect our kids from this. Sexuality is war, is a wall. And a healthy wall, we can know who we are in Christ. But when it breaks down, things go wrong. You know, food, this could be all types of walls within our society that people are building up, breaking down, that we can look out for and help and restore. What walls are within your community? Could be within school. Could be within this local community. Within Tasmania. It could be within the nation or the world. What walls are there out there that we could be involved in helping to rebuild? Verse 30 says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not destroy it. Last point is that God is looking for someone to stand in the gap. You know, how do we stand in the gap? How do we stand firm? I find it quite easy. You just need to go buy yourself a pair of Dunlop Volleys. They help you stand firm no matter. Just ask any carpenter or laborer. You know, they all wear Dunlop Volleys. Dunlop Volleys are great. You know, I was talking to Peter Swift last night. We watched the last bit of the tennis. And they announced Margaret Court was coming out to give out the trophy. So anyone remember Margaret Court? I don't remember Margaret. Anyone remember Margaret Court? You know, she's become one of my new legends. And it's not because she's a pastor of a church, which I think is great. But I read that while she played tennis, because she's a tennis hero. So if anyone knows, she's like, I don't even know what she's won. I just know she's a tennis hero. But why she's a legend in my book is that when she played tennis, she wore Dunlop Volleys. That's why she was such a good champion. It's all about the shoe. We need to stand in the gap before God on behalf of the land. We need to stand firm, not blown by the wind. We need to stand firm and solid in who we are and what God has called us to do. You know, a picture of, I get of someone in of a shepherd in John chapter 10, 11 to 13. See, a shepherd who owns the sheep. When trouble comes, the shepherd will stay and fight and protect. But if you get a hired shepherd in, Jesus was telling the story, you bring a hired shepherd in, when trouble comes, this shepherd just goes for a run. He's not interested in sticking around. You know, someone who stands firm is that when trouble comes, when something comes, their feet are planted. I will stand, I will fight, I will not move until justice has been done. Not like this hired shepherd who would just, trouble's there, I'm out of there. Standing firm is to take your stand and stand for something. And not just stand for anything. We need to stand in the gap on behalf of God and the land. You see, in this passage here, we're looking at a wall with a city. So this person was to stand in the gap on behalf of the people of the land and that which was outside, animals, enemies. So when they would approach, either to fight them off or to warn the city of the oncoming threat. You know, it's a bit like a watchman, which is actually the call of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. A watchman would be on the wall, would be out there. He would be watching. He'd be looking to see when something would come. And when that trouble came, he would then have to warn the people. He would warn and say, hey, we need to fight. We need to do something. I was watching the story, Monsters vs. Aliens. I love watching cartoons. That's what I love. It's great having kids now because I've got an excuse to turn them on or go to the movies to watch them. But I was thinking, yeah, there's a great image there of a modern-day watchman. Unfortunately, it's the only swear word in the whole movie. But you know right at the beginning, those who've seen it, they've got the little office of the space NASA guys. Then all of a sudden, they pick up the beep, 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 the meteorite. Oh, no, what do we do? Oh, no, 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 no. It's not a good example, except they do fulfill their watchman duties in that they radioed through to the government, and when the meteorite came and hit Susan, those who've seen it won't understand that, they were actually turning up straight away. So these guys were watchmen. They were watching space for things that might have come in to destroy Earth. And when something came in, they saw, then they notified and warned and were able to show where it was. That's what a watchman does. A watchman watches and then warns the people of the coming threat. In the passage of standing between the city and the outside, but we know on a spiritual level, a watchman can be someone who stands in the gap before God and the people. You know, we live in a community that is dying, destroying itself. God is looking for someone to build up the walls, someone to stand in the gap, someone to intercede for this land. God is looking for someone who will stand before him and build up the wall, stand in the gap so that he would not destroy the land. You know, what are you standing for? What are you standing for? You know, I love Wales. I've got nothing against Wales. But if my time and energy is going to be focused on saving Wales rather than the hungry children and families in another country, I want to choose hungry family and children. You know, I think trees are great. We need them to survive. We need them to live. But I know there's children around the world who are slaves who have to pick the cocoa for the chocolate that I enjoy. And so I try to find fair trade and do things like that. And so if I'm going to put some energy in, I'll plant a tree. I'll do what I can. I actually do recycle paper in my office. You know, I do things like that, chuck it back in the little thing, print it on the other side. But I want to make sure if I'm going to use my energy wisely, I want to do it on something that's going to be a greater justice. Freedom of speech. I think it's great that we can have freedom of speech. But when that freedom of speech is going to hinder the fact that we have children being exposed to or abused by pornography on the internet, I'm going to stand against that and say, listen, I don't care about your freedom of speech. What about their freedom of speech? What are you standing for? It might be sexuality. It might be this church needs to say, hey, listen, this is what we believe God created us to be. He created us to be male and female. And we know that this is how we are to live. And it's sad to hear stories of people who fall because of their sexuality. It's a gift from God that we can enjoy. And we need to enjoy that within the boundaries God has, within the wall God has for it. You know, it's great hearing about, now, the what's the Bob doing? I just know Teen Challenge. What's it called? Live Free Tassie. Building up walls in young men's lives. Standing in the gap on behalf of these men. Doing a great thing. We can get behind them. And it sounds like you are right in behind them. Continue to be behind them. Standing up for righteousness, whether it's in your school, university, community. All your people might be saying, hey, let's go cheat. Let's go steal something. Or let's go pick on someone. But make a stand and stand in behalf of them. Say, no, I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to be involved in cheating because I'm standing up for what is right. I'm standing up before God. What are you standing up for? God is looking for someone who will build up the wall and stand in the gap. Stand in the gap on behalf of Him and the people. Would the band like to come back up? This year, what are you standing for? What are you doing to build up walls in your community? Whether it be your local community, whether it be this nation, or whether it be the world, we can all play a part in standing in the gap and building up walls. You know, maybe you're a year 12 student or you're deciding what to do this year. I want to encourage you, go have a talk to Peter and Daniel. Have a chat about this college and say, hey, God, if I give you 1 year and make this a year where I stand in the gap for you, let's see what you can do. Let's see what you to do. Or I don't care how old or young you are. You may be in a place where you're making a decision to say, what can I do this year? What can I do this year? I want to encourage you. Make this a stand in the gap year. Stand in the gap. You know, it's encouraging about your trip to Nepal. You know, here we go, standing in the gap for Nepal. How can you be involved? Well, yeah, you can pray. You can give financially. Or you could go to the information line and say, hey, I'd love to go and stand in the gap. Everyone can be involved. We can all stand in the gap for something. None of us are exempt. Tonight, as we wrap up, this passage shows me, listen, God is looking. God is looking for someone. He's looking for someone to build up the walls. Will you be that someone? Will you build up the walls? God is looking for someone to stand in the gap on behalf of Him and the people. Will you be that person? God's not only looking for the righteous to stand in the gap. He's looking for those that are lost. He's looking for those that are hurt. For those that are in need. He wants you to have safety. He wants you to have security. You to have identity. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't accepted Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity tonight. It's quite easy. It's quite simple. I find it quite simple. And that if you want to let Jesus find you and walk into His wall of safety, it's three simple steps for me. It's our first. I just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you're God's Son, that you came to earth, you died on the cross for my sin and rose again on the third day. I believe in Jesus. Secondly, Jesus, I repent from my sin. That is, I turn my back and go the other way from the things that I used to do. I no longer want to do them, but I'm walking the other way. Thirdly, Jesus, I receive you in my life to be my leader. And I will follow you for the rest of my life. When you do those things, you then enter into the wall of salvation that God has for you, where there's security, safety, identity. And tonight, I want to encourage you, if you haven't accepted Jesus in your life before, tonight, may you enter into that wall of security tonight. In fact, let's have everyone close their eyes. No one looking around, please. Father, I just pray that as we close it tonight, that you would just speak to every single one of us. And Lord, if there is anyone here tonight that has not accepted your call, has not entered into your wall of safety, wall of security, has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would just stir something within their heart, that tonight would be a life-changing moment where they would find you and walk in your way. While everyone's head is closed and eyes are bowed, if that's you, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I'd love you to put your hand up because I'd love to pray with you. One, if you have not accepted Jesus in your life before and tonight, you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior too. On the count of three, I want to put your hand up. Three. Is anyone here who hasn't accepted Jesus? Tonight, don't leave tonight without having Jesus in your life. Don't leave tonight without being right. Anyone here tonight, put your hand up right now. Finally, I want to challenge all of us. I want to challenge all of us. What are you standing in the gap for this year? What are you going to rise to the challenge? God is looking for someone. Will you be that someone? Tonight, as we close and the band begin to play, if you want to step up to the plate and say, God, I'm standing for you, whether it be for your community, whether it be for the nation, for the world, or for some particular issue tonight, if you want to say, I'm standing, as we begin to play, I want you to come forward and make a public declaration, say, God, I'm standing for you this year. This year is not going to be any year. This year is going to be the gap year. I'm standing for you. So let's all stand together and let's worship God.